this week is Elvis Week, but what exactly does that mean?
Okay, so Elvis Week, it's going to be 48 years this week since Elvis passed away in 1977. So obviously there's a big anniversary in a couple of years' time, but what happens at Elvis Week is that since his passing, fans go to Graceland and they call it a candle vigil. So actually on the 16th, when he passed away, they all stand outside in the garden at Graceland with all the candles and remember him. There's a whole thing. But Elvis Week itself, there's things happening every day in Memphis and Graceland remembering Elvis. There's all different events that go on, but obviously the main event is on the 16th.
For the listeners who aren't aware, or who perhaps aren't aware of your connections with Elvis, how do you tie into it and how will you be marking the anniversary?
I've been a fan since I was a kid, and also I was asked, there hasn't been an Elvis song written about him as a tribute for him for a very long time. Strictly Elvis is an Elvis fan base that's been going since the 70s, and they were the first ones. David Wade was the first one to ever think of the idea in 1972 to take Elvis fans from the UK to Vegas to watch Elvis Presley. So, and he called his company Strictly Elvis, and obviously the Colonel and Elvis loved that because it was the first time they saw Elvis fans from the UK, banners and everything. So, you know, and that's how it started. But because I've known the fan base for a while, I was asked, can you write a song? So I thought Strictly Elvis is actually a really good name, like the one and only Strictly Elvis. And, you know, being a fan since a kid, I wrote it in a way where it was if he was looking down, going, I can't believe people still remember me, because, you know, looking at his interviews and people that I've met that knew Elvis, he was so humble that he always kept looking out the gates of Graceland saying, oh, you know, when I'm gone, I wonder if they're going to remember me. He didn't actually, in his head, he knew he was sort of famous or whatever, but he was so humble about it. So he always thought, wow, I'm not sure they're going to really remember me when I'm at that for the long, you know. So
do you see the younger generations picking up on Elvis?
Yeah, I do, actually. Well, I've been promoting this song for a while now, doing loads of shows and stuff, and it's funny, I get I tell you, there's two things, right? I get between 8 to 12-year-olds go, I know Elvis. How do you know Elvis? Oh, Lilo and Stitch. And you think, oh, right, okay, right? And then you get the teenagers and in their 20s that come up and go, oh, I really love Elvis. I say, how's that? Well, I watched the Baz Luhrmann film, you know, with Austin Butler.
So I think that was really Austin Butler was fantastic, and Baz Luhrmann is amazing anyway.
Yeah.
And I think that was also a turning point in introducing Elvis to a whole new generation.
Yeah, and that's the key. And that was really good. So I see that all along. And I think someone like Elvis, I mean, just to say, I was only seeing something this morning where they were saying, you know, you've had Michael Jackson, you've had Frank Sinatra and everything, but there's no, you know, there's no big house like Elvis's. It's the most visited house in America, apart from the White House. It's a Graceland. Fans are still playing my songs. And I always say it took one man for Graceland and it took loads of presidents for the White House. But there's something about Elvis that when people go there, the music is what entices you. But the guy had done so much in 21 years of being famous, like movies and everything else, that when you go there, he's got collections of Harley Davidsons and cars and gold records. So people are attracted to also this time capsule left from the 60s and 70s when they go there, you know.
But of course, it's also his life was cut short.
Yes.
And so whenever someone's life is cut short, that also generates a lot of interest anyway.
That's right. Yeah, I think that did. I mean, you know, he was obviously very, very famous anyway before he passed away. But I think you're right that there's something in that, in most people that pass away early, but especially with Elvis, it's just, like I said, I think it's getting bigger in a way, you know. It's because of films and everything about him, there's so much interest around him. And also a lot of famous people, like big artists like Bruce Springsteen and other, you know, say, oh, if it wasn't for Elvis, I wouldn't have picked up a guitar when I first saw him on television on the Ed Sullivan Show. So there's so much within the industry and fans that love Elvis.
how did you go about writing the song? What's the process of starting off? Do you put the words down first or do you find the melody? How do you begin?
You know what? This was a strange one. I always say, because writing songs, I mean, I've written songs over the years, you know, incorporating with Boy George and other people. But with this Elvis, because I grew up with Elvis, knowing his story anyway, this was really strange that when I was asked to do the song, I picked a guitar up and I'm not joking. In an hour, I sort of had the song, because everything was in my head about, oh, will they remember me? And his song titles, like, you know, Love Me Tender, I'll Be Loving You. I mean, there's things like that where he would say to his fans, you know, I can't believe how much you care about me. So I was, these sort of song titles just come out of my head like that, you know. And yeah, it was one of those strange ones that happened within an hour. I just had the whole thing, you know.
And you know Elvis's wife Priscilla.
Yeah.
Has she heard it?
Yeah, she has, and she really likes it. Yeah, she's really. I spoke to her a while back, and she said, "Oh, you know, she loves the song, and also how I'm, you know, helping his legacy too." So yeah.
She's committed herself to, because it's been a long time since he passed away, and she has committed herself to continuing that legacy, hasn't she? So it's a full time job.
It is, yeah. And the thing is, I mean, on that, you know, she started it, I think it was around about 1982, where basically they didn't know what to do with the house. And obviously Priscilla, knowing it was going to go to Lisa anyway, some people were saying, oh, you know, get rid of it or whatever, you know, because people around her didn't even think that it would work as a museum. But I've got to say, she was the foresight in saying, no, I knew how Elvis felt when we lived here, when he looked out to the fans, how much they loved him and he loved them. So, yes.
You know, she's the person who lived with him who knew him the most.
That's right.
She's here and she is that last link.
Yeah, yeah. And on a last note on that, what's happened now is obviously she was 80 this year. So we're talking about younger generations. So Riley now, her granddaughter, Lisa's daughter, obviously she's famous in her own right as a film star and everything. But, you know, Priscilla thought it was really a nice idea now for the younger fans, for her to slowly take a back seat and Riley, you know, be more in the forefront with it all, because she's obviously younger and will attract younger fans. And like I say, Priscilla's been doing it since the 80s, so it's a great thing that Riley's taking over, really, you know.
So for people who want to listen to the single, to buy it, how can they go about that?
Yeah, well, the single's out everywhere on you know, Spotify, iTunes, all over the world. And it's just anywhere where you listen to your records. And
but it would be lovely if it could make an impact on Elvis Week, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And already it's charted and, you know, and it's going out to America as well, to Graceland and everywhere. So, yeah, it's definitely a great thing for his legacy. Fans are still playing my songs, but take me back to 56. It started with my mom, she told me strictly Elvis.